Hello, hello, beautiful people. Mi gente bella.
Welcome, welcome to another edition of Santana Sis, where we talk about everything from roadblocks to relationships, everything in between, and the overall journey of life. I am excited, as always, to bring you another edition of the show, but also we get to have another wonderful guest. I'm, like, super excited. So, like, dream come true. I've actually mentioned you during multiple episodes, actually, yeah. If you did not know. So, like, I am, like, over the moon that we get to do it, but like, period, anytime. But also, like, when we are talking about women, you know what I'm saying, and doing things and just people who shine, I just am so excited that we have such a great light as Rosa herself.
Thank you.
So I am, like I said, beyond excited, but I would love for you to just tell the group people a little bit about you, who you are, a little bit that brought you here today.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes. I was telling her that I was waiting for this invitation, so I'm so happy that I finally got the invitation. I put in my agenda right away.
Yes,
my best friends will tell you, once it's in the agenda, it has to happen. Yep, it's solid. So one thing about me, or a few things about me.
Yes.
So you already said it, I'm Rosa. I'm just a girl from Fulton Road here in Cleveland, you know. I grew up here. I'm from Puerto Rico originally. I live to serve. That's my purpose. I am 100% sure that God has brought me to this world to serve my community, to serve my people, to not waste life. To not waste time.
No, like, ma'am.
I am so productive. I love to be productive, and that's me.
Let's go.
Yes.
And, okay, so I get to cheat because, you know, I've like, connected with you before. So I also know that you have this rich background in also performances in the past. So, Miss Ma'am, if you want to let people know.
So, you
know
what's so crazy that you mentioned that? I am performing with the screen team tomorrow. Tomorrow at the Cavaliers, we're having the 20-year anniversary of the screen team.
Oh, nice.
Today's my first rehearsal, and I'm like, oh, Dios mío, my knees, my back.
Right.
You know, like,
oh my God.
I'm 35 now. So last time I performed with the screen team as a screen team member was in 2012.
Wow,
so
okay.
So I'm like, ooh. Right. Last year I performed for the Latino night, and it was amazing.
Yes.
Did a little bit of salsa and bomba. But this year, I get to break dance again. I get to be girl, and I can't wait because it's been a while.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited.
Absolutely. And, are they recording, though? Because what the heck?
It's a halftime show. So
they
don't record halftime show. So you got to be there. Buy your tickets.
Yeah, but that's so good to know. Wow.
Yes. I'm excited.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But, okay, speaking of that.
Yes.
So, like, I think it is beyond dope that you are a woman who, like, entered the beat, you know, like, the breakdancing world. You know what I'm saying? And just navigating that and like does it and kills it, by the way. You know what I'm saying? So if you have not seen it, look it up. I'm sure there's like YouTubes, but like I know you've done it, you know, all that. But what was that like being around, you know what I'm saying, the boys essentially?
Yes. Oh my God. I think that's the initial for my life of breaking those barriers.
Mm. Okay.
You know, I was 14 years old when I first started B-girling, you know, with Tony Fresh,
yes.
Basin League, which is Brooks, CCB, the whole crew, shout out to them. And I was taking like a little sister.
Yeah.
But my thing was like, I'm there to break.
Right.
You know, and breaking the stereotypes, because there's always those stereotypes like girls that were around break dancers or around dancers were just girlfriends and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I didn't date till I was like 19, 20.
Mm, okay.
So I started dating very, very late in my life.
Yes. Yeah,
so,
same thing. Yeah. So, I waited until college.
Yeah, right. So so when I started breakdancing and started b-girling, I really was like, I wanted to do something but be good at one particular thing. Mm. And for me, they always call me Rosie Rush. That was my b-girl name because I was always like hitting the beat, but I was like quick with it.
Yep.
You know?
Okay.
So I was not a power person. Like I didn't do a lot of power moves. I'm more of a flavor person, more of like hitting the beat and being stylist.
Mm.
And I love it. I love mixing all the other styles that I knew how to dance.
Right.
With that. Mm. So I'm like, okay.
Right.
That was me. But I was never afraid to throw down. Like,
okay.
I don't care what kind of battle it was. Somebody called me out. I was like, ooh,
yeah, exactly.
That's
me. I'm gonna do it.
Okay. I'm gonna do it.
Right.
And I always tell the girls when we were dancing, I'm like, look, I hate when they put us to like battle against each other.
Right.
Because we should be embracing each other and being more of a power tool. Because one of the things about the scene is that B girls versus B girls. And yeah, we have our own style, but also we are capable of, you know, breaking against the guys.
Yep.
We have the ability to.
Oh yeah.
And I think that every time they like categorize us as all B-girls and such, I always felt like, why?
Yeah.
What is
why
the
we got to do
you
that?
Know, why we got to do that? You know, like when I compete in other dances, there's never like the gender roles. It's more of like, do your thing.
Yep, period. So, and just be able to do it together.
I try to make sure that when we battle, I'm like, I want to battle him.
Exactly. Put me up. Yeah. I got that. Yep. Yes. Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome. So I love that, especially because I'm such a fan. Me and my brother both like freestyle music and like all that. Like, it takes us back. Like, we just love that time period. And my brother used to like break a little bit. It was funny. It was cute. He has a little time. But I just love when we're able to invade. But like in a good way, because like you said, from a supportive place. Because I agree. It doesn't have to be competitive. Like, really, it's just everybody embracing. But it is super dope that you were able to. But like, was that, and I was going to say, was that always like, baile was always like there? I'm just wondering when you discovered.
Dancing was always my passion, has always been my passion. And I'm so happy. I'm going to open my dance studio again this year. So.
Yes.
I signed up. So for me, I started dancing, I think as soon as I started walking.
Wow.
But I was told by doctors that I was not able to walk.
Really?
So when I was born with an issue with my legs, and I was never able to just stand flat. So my mom moved to Boston, and I went through therapy there and such. I was born with very short tendons that, like, that didn't develop the correct way. So I fell in love with dancing, and it helped me because I'm like, hey, if I can't walk, I can dance.
Yeah.
You know?
You know that.
So it's been a passion of mine since then. I didn't start going to dance classes till later on when I was able to afford it on my own.
Right.
But I got involved with dancing every time. I like... anything. There was music and I was dancing. Like, I was never shy about dancing or singing when I was little. Now I can't sing for my life. But when I was little, I used to. Yes. When I was little, I was like, bien atrevida. Like, I would do whatever. Yes. You know, I would get my first time on stage, I was 5 years old. I was imitating Olga Tañón. That's my favorite artist.
Yes, girl, I was listening on the way here. Yes. Mentiroso.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs. But and I started imitating her, and like, I got my movement and my energy.
I
got to meet her when she came over here.
Really?
And I was in front line.
Girl, jealous.
I was crying, screaming.
Yes.
But I was so happy. Dancing has been, for me, my therapy. My therapy. And all different styles of dancing. Because I do a lot of Latin dance, but I took jazz, I took ballet, I took modern.
Okay.
And I'm a B-girl. So it's like, I love dancing. And I love learning. And for me, it's like, I call myself Miss Rebel because... for me, dancing, there is technique and there's strategies of how you're supposed to do things.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like, express yourself.
At the end of the day.
Just express yourself. And I try to teach that to my students. Like, I try to teach them technique, but also of like finding you through dance.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yes, because that also, I think, is the gift that I think we don't always realize. Like, dance can do that for y'all.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just to move.
I dance like David, you know? Like,
exactly.
So it's like one of the things that I appreciate that God has given me is the ability to dance.
Girl,
because I feel that it's my duty to give that to the youth and and to the children so they could grow with something that they could look forward to. You know,
let's go.
Dancing is something that will never leave your body once you learn it. Mm. And it's, like I said, you know, it doesn't matter your conditions of life, whether you are in a wheelchair, whether you were told that you can't walk, you know, you have to just find that one thing that you want to do in your life and just do it and express yourself. And there's so many ways of art, you know?
Yeah.
That's just one of them.
It is. Oh, but I love that. But yes, and I just feel the joy. Like, that radiates as you talk about it. But also, I've seen her in action, y'all. So yeah, we already signed up, by the way, for the studio. So yes.
I know, I saw
that. Yes, I did. Me and the girls, we in there.
Yes.
But we have to, but I agree, though. It's just like generating that and just knowing and just enjoying the experience.
Yes.
And so that's why I think I've been challenging myself to do is like not always focusing on the product or like what you're like producing, especially with something like dance. No, you just get to enjoy doing it.
Yes. And I name my dance studio Latin Dance Studio because I always been very connected to my roots.
Yep.
And there's so many things that compose my culture. And because we live here, our children don't get to experience what we have experienced. Like, back in the day, we used to have a lot of centers in our community that taught us dance and that taught us about our culture.
Yep.
And I see that we don't have that as presence today. So I try to have a space where our kids are going to learn how to dance, but they're also going to learn about the musicians and the artists that have composed this music and learn language. So it's just a way to bring them a little piece of home.
Yes.
You know, and all of it.
Right.
You know, my goal is to one day travel all 21 Spanish-speaking countries
That's cool.
and learn about their culture and bring that back here and teach it.
Let's go. Come on. That's going to be amazing. And also because, speaking of which,
Black culture feeds fashion, but fashion doesn't always feed Black creatives. I mean, only 7.3% of American fashion designers are Black. So McDonald's is pairing 5 rising Black designers with 5 fashion insiders for career-changing mentorships and the access they deserve. Because we can do better than 7.3. Together, we can change the face of fashion. Follow their journey on Instagram at WeAreGolden.
Statistics sourced from Zapier.com as of 2021.
Because I know you teach Spanish as well.
Yes.
And so, like, how has that experience been like? You know what I mean?
So, you know, the reason why I became a Spanish teacher is because when I went to Puerto Rico, I was called a gringa. Mind you, I was born in Puerto Rico.
Right, okay, what?
I was born in Puerto Rico. I went to Puerto Rico for my first years of education.
Yeah.
6th grade, 11th grade, and my first year of college, I went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And, but it was like my Puerto Rico card was stolen from me.
Wow.
Like that piece of identity where you're over there and somebody be like, ah, esta gringa, you know?
Right.
Like, and I'm like, what?
Right.
I'm a
gringa. Not me. Yeah, me? Exactly. Me? One of y'all. What you talking about? Yeah.
So when I went to college over there and I was called a gringa, I was like, okay, I'm switching. I went to college in Puerto Rico because I wanted to study communications.
Okay.
I wanted to do TV.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do like things and be involved with the whole media.
Right.
So I went to Sagrado Corazon. It's the University of Sagrado Corazon, one of the best for communications.
Let's go.
And when I went over there, I was called that. And I'm like, oh, heck no. Like it changed my whole perspective.
Wow.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to prove these people that I am Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
But it's so sad when somebody takes that from you.
Yeah.
And then over here, I'm called a Goya.
Yeah.
Like even before, so I'm like, okay, time out. In Cleveland, where I'm actually, you know, where I was raised, I'm called a Goya. And then when I'm in Puerto Rico, I'm called a gringa. I'm like, no soy de allí ni de acá. Like where I'm from. So when I went to Puerto Rico, I changed my major. And I was like, okay, I'm going to study Spanish. I'm going to teach Spanish. I'm gonna learn how to speak properly, but also I dedicated my life to learn about the history, the Latin history, and the Puerto Rican history.
Yep.
So I went to Spain to study abroad.
Really?
I was there for almost a year, and I studied Spanish.
Okay.
I studied Castellano, so it was more of like the Castilian Spanish. So it's like the grammar's rooted into the Spaniard culture.
Yep.
And then as I went to different places of and traveled, I got more of a universal Spanish. Mm. So I don't have an accent that is to any particular country. It's more of a universal way. But I love the culture. I love teaching about different countries and how we all connected, you know, and how we all have different motherlands, you know, that are rooted into our own one culture.
Let's go.
But I also teach multicultural studies.
Okay.
At Global Studies. So I love that I get to learn about everyone's culture.
Yeah.
So my school is composed of 47 different cultures. And I love learning things about my students.
Yeah.
Like we celebrate each kid's culture. So I think that's one of the things that I love and appreciate about education is that even though I'm the educator, I'm constantly learning.
Yep.
And I'm constantly changing the way I teach. Mm. Like I'm not your typical traditional teacher. My classroom is everywhere. Mm. So I take every opportunity to expose my students to the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I want them, I graduated from Lincoln West, so I take pride of my school. I'm like, I graduated from Lincoln West, I'm a teacher at Lincoln West, and I won't leave Lincoln West. I'm like, I'm very sad that in 2 years we are gonna redevelop the building.
Yeah.
And I'm temporarily gonna leave the building, but it's like, that's where I'm from. And I want my kids to know, like, you could be whatever you wanna be, and I really mean that. You know?
Yeah.
Growing up was not easy for me.
Right.
You know, I come from a big family and we all have our mindsets and different things.
Yep.
So I was very focused while like everybody was partying downstairs and the house parties. I was upstairs like studying and dedicating my life to education. So I think education like changed my life, but saved my life and gave me a purpose. So I know that God has given me that gift of being an educator, but also being a learner.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on. Yes. Oh, God, I love everything. First of all, there's just nothing you've said that I haven't loved. But I definitely agree. Like, just being able to, like, transport the students, you know, to places and making that such an experiential, like, process in the process. And I think that's actually was, you know, it is very cool that you said that because for 2 seconds, I actually taught Spanish. It was, like, a while ago. But, like, I agree, though, that it was such an interesting opportunity to, like, really engage them and let them know about things in the world and also where Spanish is. Because, you know, like, some of the kids had no idea, like, Los Angeles is Los Angeles. Like, that's not
exactly. It's everywhere. So when I was told that I was a gringa and that I decided to dedicate my life to just learning, I meant it because I imagine our kids growing up. Mm. I have children. I have 2 boys. And they don't like speaking Spanish. Mm. And I'm a Spanish teacher. Like, exactly. I'm like, what kind of thing is this?
Right.
You know, but they tell me, like, mommy, they go to Buer. So I put them there because I want them to be practicing their Spanish.
Right.
And for me, it's like, they're like, mommy, it's hard because I only speak Spanish to you.
Yeah.
And then when I'm out here, no one speaks Spanish. Yeah. And then when I try to talk, people make fun of my accent. And I'm like, you see, that's what's wrong with us. It's like, we need to continue embracing our culture through our children because it's gonna we're going to lose it at one point if we don't teach it. So we need to do better. And that's why I'm outside of being a teacher, I'm in the community trying to educate as much as I can about our culture and about our language and about our traditions and all that great stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know? And with that being said, I mean, like, super, you know, of course, amazing, humble and everything like that. But no, I'm talking about, like, community champion. Okay. Because, like, this is what I'm sitting across from. Because, like, I agree. You are definitely, like, a presence. You know what I'm saying? You literally, like, do this, like, day in, day out. And I agree. Like, that spirit of service, like, radiates. Like, definitely from you. Like, absolutely. It is, like, super clear. But it's just definitely evident. I'm just always moved by your passion, though. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's always been moving to me, you know, definitely as a fellow Puerto Rican, period, because obviously Puerto Rico has gone through it.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot there. And I think I agree that, like, it's just very hard to, like, you know, take that in and just know and, like, but make sure that we recognize that and that we don't ignore that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is a rich history that's there. It's definitely so many great things that we can appreciate, but there has been a lot of trauma.
Yeah, we definitely do. And I think going back to learning about that, those things, you know, our ancestors were fighters.
Yeah.
You know, and one of my favorite role models is Albizu Campos.
Yep.
And he said, you can only be oppressed if you let them oppress you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for us, it's like, what do we do?
Yep.
We have to have a fight in us. Yep. And I'm so thankful for all of our ancestors and also not the recent leaders before us, you know, from everything, not only from Puerto Rico, but the leaders that have paved the way for us. Yep. They are fighters. Yes, they face oppression.
Yep.
But they didn't let the oppression keep them down. You know, they became fighters, so we could nowadays speak the way that we want to speak, dress the way we want to dress, you know, bring our flag out whenever we want to bring our flag out.
Right.
So it's like those kind of things where I don't take that for granted.
No.
And anytime that I could give them their flowers, I make sure that they get their flowers.
Right.
So it's like I don't take our freedom for granted whatsoever.
Right.
And Puerto Rico has been through a lot, you know, like. A lot. We have never been independent whatsoever.
Right.
So we will never know unless we eventually try.
Yep.
But before we even try to be independent politically, we have to be mindset independent.
Amen.
And we have to make sure that we have the resources and take advantage of the resources that we have because we are a rich country.
Amen.
You know, I think I was inspired by my trip to Costa Rica. I took students to Costa Rica.
Ooh,
and I
cool.
learned about the system there. You know, they don't have an army.
Okay.
You know, and their government's very focused on providing education, free healthcare, and things like that.
That's
and they're not also, they're not a communist country either. They're just an independent country.
Okay.
And they have focus on their resources. And they noticed that the richest resources they had was nature. You go to Costa Rica and you're walking and it's like little monkeys here and there's you see the perezoso, how you say perezoso, the sloth?
Yes.
Yeah. You see them like there, like you can grab a fruit from anywhere, but the community aspect.
Yeah.
So my students and I stayed in different homes with families who took care of us during that stay. Mm. And we got to learn how to fish, we got to learn how to grow fruits, and we learn, like, you share what you have with your neighbors and how amazing that is.
Right.
You know, and it's like, Puerto Rico could do the same thing.
No, I'm
because afraid. We have such, you know, we have the land.
Yes.
You know, we have the land. But I think it's the ignorance of our people sometimes when they don't realize the power that we have.
Yep.
You know, and how we let outsiders come in our country and just take advantage of those resources.
Amen.
And they don't understand, like, oh, yeah, they're, I don't want to put any names out there, but it's like everyone who has moved to our country, to Puerto Rico, with the agenda of helping our people. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, but they opened up this for the community. They have to, because that's what Delay 22 is.
Right.
In order for you to be in Puerto Rico and buy land in Puerto Rico, you have to give to a charity.
Yep.
Funny thing is that a lot of these organizations or people, individuals that come to our country, they create these charities in Puerto Rico. Yep. So the money's going back to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you look good, and then people applaud it. And then people who don't know the actual law to it or the actual, like, information of it, they applaud it. Oh, my God. They come into Puerto Rico, and they're helping our youth, and they're helping this. Well, they have to, because that's part of the of their you know, incentives. But also, it's like they need to look good.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they look like a colonizer.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We can't have that.
So it's like I try my best to educate myself about those things so that when there is an opportunity to speak about it,
yep,
I could say something.
Yes.
You know, because you'll be surprised how many people be like, oh, but Puerto Ricans depend on this and depend on that. And they wouldn't be nothing if they didn't have this and they wouldn't have that. And you're like,
No.
If you only knew your history.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. It doesn't let, imagine we're, you know, 100 by 35.
Mm-hmm.
God would have blessed us or the world would have blessed us, right?
Yep.
With anything bigger than that. How much bigger could we be as people?
Right.
Because this little tiny island,
yep,
has produced so many good people in the world,
yep,
who have done greatness for many other countries.
That is true.
You know, Puerto Rico and the people of Puerto Rico has helped so many other countries in so many different aspects.
Absolutely.
And individuals from Puerto Rico too, you know? So right. It's like, I'm proud of being, I take pride of being Puerto Rican.
Oh yeah.
And I take pride of being Latina, and I'm like, yeah, I love being who I am as a woman, but also like planting seeds,
yep,
for other youth, for other women who are growing up to know, you be proud of who you are and where, amen, you come from, you know?
Let's go.
And learn, because if you don't learn about your past, there's a missing piece of your identity.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't let them take away your identity.
No.
Embrace it.
Yes, I completely agree. But it's also like, that is like the perfect metaphor, because like a lot of what we talk about is like, you know, with healthy relationships and, yes, like, you know, violence prevention and like all that. And I'm like, I'm telling y'all, Puerto Rico is a very perfect metaphor. Like, it's literally, yeah, like what we're saying. And it's just that you being unaware of the abuse that happens allows you to not recognize it, to ignore it, not make it part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. But it also allows you to negate and not be able to recognize your true power. Because, yes, that's what I feel like is the problem. Like, it's just like we have so much. But I agree with you. The most painful thing I'll hear is the lack of recognition for that, though.
Yes.
Like, we could make it. Yeah, you could.
Definitely, yes. Listen, after traveling like, and seeing the countries and seeing how they develop, it's going to take time.
Yeah, of course.
But you can,
yeah,
see.
It wouldn't be overnight.
You see the change.
Yes.
But you also see that unity.
Yes.
You know, I recently traveled to Chicago with my students.
Hey.
I took them to Chicago. I have done a lot
Chicago.
This year.
Yes,
but
go.
One of the best things that I have done this year is taking my students to Chicago. It is a Lift in Puerto Rico initiative. So I took the kids with the initiative of learning about how do we help the diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Let's go.
And how do we learn from the diaspora?
Yes.
So I went to Paseo Borico. Have you been?
Oh, yeah. I actually protested back in the day for Oscar
Lopez.
Lopez.
I just
Rivera.
Met him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I just had a chat with him. It was amazing.
Aww.
So thank you for doing that.
Yes.
So I went to Paseo Borico with my students. I actually was there for the United States Leadership Conference.
Okay.
So I took my students there, but we actually like sneaked out because some of the workshops were full and we couldn't go. And I'm like,
okay, yep.
I brought my kids for these workshops.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay, you know what? We're still going to learn.
Right.
So we took an Uber and we went to Paseo Borico and we met with Jose Lopez, who is the director of El Centro Puertorriqueño.
Yes.
He is Oscar Lopez's brother.
Yep.
And that man took me under his wing and was like, welcome.
Mm.
And we were in every single business that they have created and every single organization.
Yep.
I wish I would have brought this book that they gave me. They celebrated their 50 years.
Mm. Yep.
I was like, in tears almost every single day, learning from everyone that I was encountering with.
Yep.
I met this professor. Her name is Brenda Torres. She's from Fajardo, Puerto Rico. She moved there after Hurricane Maria. She has a gallery. And she is a proud Afro-Boricua.
Yep.
She taught me so much. Mind you, I'm an educator, right? So you will think that I would know it all. No, absolutely not.
Right.
So we had a talk and we sat down. She has this beautiful gallery, which I encourage you to go.
Yeah.
It's a Schoenberg gallery. She has an image of Schoenberg outside, which is the father of Black history of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean.
Let's
go. This man dedicated his life to collect about our Blackness, you know, about our culture. And he helped a lot with organizing the same in United States.
So
we, you know, he's the father of La Cultura, like what we considered, you know, La Cultura Negra of Puerto Rico. And she taught me about Afro-Latino. And she's like, Rosa, we Puerto Ricans, we have Black blood. You know, tenemos la sangre negra. But there's a difference between having it culturally and carrying it with you every day.
Ooh.
And she goes, in my eyes, you know, you're a Boricua.
Yep.
And she's like, with all due respect, you might say you're Afro-Latina and it could be offensive to others.
Yeah.
Because you don't carry the things that Afro-Latinos go through. She's like, but that doesn't take away that you're Afro-Boricua. It doesn't take away that you have African blood.
Yes.
She's like, I'm 100% sure that you're proud of your African roots. And I'm like, yeah. You know, like, she's like, but see, that's what the thing is. When you're Boricua, you have these three cultures.
Yep.
And actually, for me, after I go through all the history and I learn through so much from other professors, it's more than three cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the foundation.
Yep.
You have your Taino blood or Arawak blood, and then you have, you know, your African descendant. But Africa is not a country, it's a continent.
Yep.
And when our African ancestors came, they came from different parts of Africa.
That's true.
Okay, and they brought us different things. Mm. Not only the food and the singing and the dancing, you know, and but the expressions. You know? And y la raza.
Yep.
So it's like, because we're mixed with so many other bloods, European blood, you know, Caribbean blood, South American blood, you know, you have that culture in you.
Yeah.
But do you embrace that culture?
Mm.
You know, like, do you embrace that culture in the way you look to? She goes, now everybody wants to be Afro-Latino or Afro-Boricua.
Right.
She's like, está de moda. And now everybody wants to say that they're Afro-Latino.
Mm.
She's like, well, do respect, you're not. And I'm like, ooh.
You know, right,
but it's like she was telling me, it's about, it is about the race.
Yeah,
when it comes to your Afro-Latinidad, she goes, because there's things that we embrace and that we carry every day that you wouldn't understand. And I was like, wow, it was a very humble moment. And then she taught me about her grandmother and her tatarabuela and all them and bisabuela, and she, her art gallery has these enaguas, the skirts that go under the skirts.
Yep.
And she collected them from her grandmother.
Wow.
And she has these cortinas, the white cortinas from back in the day. Remember that great material?
Yeah.
So she says that's the only thing that was left over from her ancestry. She tells a story through them.
Wow.
And then her artwork, her photography is in black and white, and she tells her story and about her African roots, you know, and she's like, the whole religion is in behind it. And I'm like, wow, like there was a lot that I learned. And I took that moment to just humble myself as an educator and learn, you know, but there's so many things in Paso Borigua that I was encouraged and I loved. And
also the food.
And the food. I ate everywhere I went.
Yeah.
Jose Lopez made sure that I was eating. And I'm like, but they were all treating me so nice. And they all gave me so many gifts. And they were like talking to my students and educating my students. And I was like, wow. I was so humble to learn about all the organizations that they have created throughout the 50 years. The Albizus Campo High School.
Yeah.
I loved it. I had a one-on-one with the principal. It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, what they have done. And the key is that a group of people identify that there were needs that they were not met by anyone else. And they got together and formed these organizations. You know, they have a LGBTQ plus homeless shelter, homeless shelter for youth.
Didn't know that.
Because, you know, in our culture, and that's something that's sad, our culture sometimes is very machista.
Ah, yep.
You know?
Yep.
And there, we still struggle with accepting the youth when they decide to have, you know, to embrace what they feel is their life.
Right.
You know, so create this organization, and they home the kids, and they make sure they go to school. They make sure that they have all the resources. For me, it was like, wow, you know?
Right.
And it's that beautiful thing about humanity.
Yeah.
You know? And they also have senior centers. Right. One of them is shaped like a morro.
Oh,
and it
that's
was
cute.
Beautiful. Aww. To see it. And a new one that's being constructed is a residency, has a bunch of apartments, is named after Abisu Campos. Aww. They have a little cute park named after Lolita.
Oh,
it's
cute.
Beautiful, amazing. Incubator programs. It's just so much. And I'm like, wow, we need that.
We do.
We need that because we also have all these community needs.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I feel like here at home, there's a lot of competition
for
grants, for to strive.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's if we were to just...
Hey everyone, it's John Gist.
And your girl, Dee Dee Brown here from Black on the Scene. If you want to know more about navigating the business of Hollywood and learn about the ins and outs from the folks who are living and breathing it, be sure to check out and subscribe to
Black on the Scene, a show that highlights the intersection of culture, entertainment, and business through a Black lens. And it's all brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Come together, inspired by New York, inspired by Chicago, who have done such a phenomenal job making sure that the needs that our Latino people need are met.
Amen.
You know, sometimes even without without government funding, things happen. I think that's one of the things that inspire me to connect with everyone here.
Yeah.
It's like, what do we need?
Right.
And how would we make it happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, and I agree. And it was actually, shout out to Alejandro Molina because he was because National Boricua Human Rights Network, that was how my introduction to them, a while ago. And it was actually when I used to work with Nosomi. Like, I don't know if anybody knows her, but she's Asian average, you know, like actually organizer, like did a lot of work here too. Like,
I met her, remember when I had the dance studio at her church?
Oh yeah, okay.
That's where I met her. And then recently she just gave me a gift last year from an event that she had with Jose Lopez and other organizers.
Okay.
And she sent me some books that I have to read. And I was like, oh. But yeah, actually, I'm connecting with Powerful Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Because we're going in May to the White House.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's go.
On behalf of Puerto Rico and Puerto Rico's Self-Determination Act.
Nice.
Which is crazy because I was told by Jose Lopez to attend this event.
Okay.
And then Selena reached out to me. It was like, would you like to attend? And I'm
right.
like,
of course.
Girl, yes, I'm already out there. So I'm very excited that I'm going to go.
Let's go.
And it's my first time in Washington, D.C. I've never
Let's
been.
Let's go. I haven't either, so let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know.
Sign up, girl. Let's do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But agreed, because that organizing piece is strong. And even Nosomi, like, shout out to her. So she would definitely, like, champion all these, like, Latino issues. Mm-hmm. And even, she wasn't Latina herself. Like, and didn't need to be, but it was just like had the heart for this work. And I do agree that, like, you know, and it was great that she did offer her space for something like that, because that is how her church was set up to be able to just be this community effort. And she had actually mentioned to me a long time ago that she wished where the United Church of Christ, where hers is at, more like Denison area,
on 99.
She had always envisioned that to be like a Basio Boricua. I know she had like said that to me a while ago. And now I know we have La Villa Hispana that's coming. Yes. Come on now. Exactly.
You already know. That's my big sis. I love
you. Exactly. Yes. First of all, who interviewed me back in the day for Esperanza Scholarship. She reminded me. So I was like, full circle. But agreed, we have that. And we're like, we're bringing a lot of different, you know, businesses and doing all these great things in the Clark Fulton area, which for us is like huge. You know what I mean? So like, that is amazing. But I agree though, that like those communitarian efforts, I feel like are still like, I would always love to see more of that.
Yeah.
I feel like we could always stand to have more of that by us, for us, and like in community.
One of the things that I have always said, and I agree with you 100%, it's and that is, I think, what's used for one of the quotes from the Meganota that was just brought out.
Oh yes.
And for me, it's like everyone is a leader. There's something that you could be good at.
Yeah.
No one could be you.
No.
And I don't say that to be arrogant.
Right.
No one could be you, because there's certain things that you do best.
Yep.
And that's being yourself.
Right.
And I think that everyone has a calling. They just need to start listening to their heart and pray about it.
Right.
And take initiative.
Yep.
because time is passing by, yep, and you have dreams, yep, you have goals, and you're just, one day. You know, you have to do it now. And if everybody was to step up to their positions,
right,
and to their gifts,
yep,
we'll be in a better place.
I agree. You know? But I also love how you said, like, praying for that discernment, though, so that it can get revealed to you.
Yes.
Because some people, I feel like, are aware, and some are not. It might take us a little bit, you know, to, like, figure out what that is and, like, whatever it might be. But you do have gifts. I do agree.
Yes.
And I feel like we do all possess that. And I think it's, you know, it definitely helps to be able to, like, get in touch with that.
And I'm a firm believer that if you plant your gifts, more will grow.
Let's go.
Like, when you share your gift with someone else, yep, you plant that seed for someone else.
Let's go.
God is like, girl.
Exactly.
And you're like, more responsibilities. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's such giving. That's why I'm very particular of who I give my time to. And what do I give my time to? Your life is an investment.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's like, you invest yourself in another person, you invest yourself in another organization, invest yourself in your community. You need to know who you invest in for. You know, you got to pray about it, because there's always hidden agendas in people's, you know, and people's and organizations and things. So you've got to pray for enlightenment. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that I have done this year, is pray about everything.
Let's go.
About everything.
Yeah, didn't you do some kind of, fast or something?
Yeah, what'd you do? 40 days. It was the hardest ever for me. So it was the first time that I have ever fasted for 40 days.
Okay.
But my goal was that I would pray and I would read my Bible before I ate food.
Okay.
So before eating food from the world,
right,
I fed myself with the Word of God.
Let's go.
And for 40 days, I was reading my Bible, different chapters, different things, scriptures, like everything. And I'm still doing most of it. It's just that right now I'm like, God, I don't want to speak to you without purpose. Like, I pray to you every day.
Yeah.
I talk to you every day. But I don't want to ask you for something without purpose.
Man.
Without making sure that I'm going to be committed to that.
Let's go.
Because you're like, Papa Dios, dame esto. God gave it to you. And then you like, throw it away. Or you don't do what.
Yeah.
So I don't want God to bless me with anything.
Nope.
If I'm not sure.
Come on.
That's going to be my purpose.
Yep.
You know, how many times I have been asked to run for office for anything? Many times. And I prayed about it.
Yep.
And it's in my heart to serve.
Yes.
But if it's not my purpose.
Right.
God, don't give me the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm still praying about that. But I did those 40 days because I was in a complete lost mindset of, even though I'm so organized, and even though I'm a great mother, or I feel like I'm a great mother,
of course,
and, you know, I feel like I'm never enough for my children. Yeah. Like, I need to be better and better. And I have all these roles. I felt so empty. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing everything that God asked me to do. I fill myself with God, but with my family, I am, you know, I try to be my best as a daughter and as a sister to, and cousin and family to others. But I was like, I felt so empty. But I learned that it was because I didn't close heridas. How do you say heridas?
Oh, wounds.
Wounds. There you go.
Yeah.
Se me fue de la mente for
right.
It's like sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we don't forgive, we carry.
Girl,
we carry things.
Yeah, we do.
And we need to learn to forgive, not for the other people or the other things, but so you don't have to carry it.
Yes, go.
You know, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you were like, what is one of the advices that you have received from another woman?
Yeah.
Mine was from my mother the day that she passed. You know, it was hours before she passed, and she told me, and it was crazy because I was going through a lot that year. Like, I went through the scare of my life for my health. You know, I went through my divorce.
Yeah.
At that time, I was just separated. I was not divorced yet, but I went through my separation, and my mom said, you're going to forgive and forgive, but also you're gonna learn to stop loving. She's like, you forgive and forgive, and then you stop loving.
Ooh.
And I thought that she was speaking to me about my relationship.
Right.
You know?
Must be.
But she was speaking to me in general. You cannot continue letting people use you.
Wow. Yep.
You learn to forgive what they have chosen to do. But then you don't give them another opportunity to do the same mistakes or continue using you.
Wow.
And that's not just on a relationship base.
Right.
In general, how many times have your job has screwed you over and you're like, oh, no, but you know, I love doing this and then it's that. It's like, listen, it's time for you to move up, pick up your things and go to a different opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, when I was not forgiving people or when I was not forgiving certain things or I was not bringing closure to those things, I forgot to love myself.
Let's go. Yep.
When my mom said that to me, you stop loving, I thought you stopped loving your significant other. That's what she was. No, you sometimes become numb because everything goes to you and you just put it under the rug or keep it moving. You know what? Yeah, forgive him. Do you really?
You're right.
The thing is, and the Bible says this too, it's like you forgive. You have to forgive. Right. It's part of it.
Yep.
But hold them accountable.
Yeah. Girl, yes.
You got to hold people accountable and whoever has hurt you accountable and let them know, hey, you did this, you did that, I forgive you.
Right.
And move on.
Yep.
Sincerely, people make mistakes. You can give them another chance if you want to, but you know people's intentions. Wow. Pray about it. So when my mom gave me that advice of, you know, keep forgiving and forgiving, but don't forget to love yourself. Like, no te olvides que you don't forget to love and you become numb and it's like, yeah, I need to learn to forgive, because if you don't forgive, you hold that with you.
You do.
And it changes you. And your children see that.
Yeah.
And I don't want my kids. I think that year when I lost my mom, I went through the worst year of my life. I lost my mom. I lost friendships that year. I lost my brother. You know, I had COVID. My father had COVID. My father had COVID for 39 days and was in the hospital. I couldn't see my dad for 39 days.
Jesus.
And that killed me because I see my dad almost every day.
Right.
And his kidneys were gone. Like, he's in dialysis for the rest of his life. But it's like, and I got divorced all in one freaking year.
Jesus.
And I was like,
right, what?
Like, for me, it was like, Dios mío.
Yeah, what more?
I tell you something, my faith was never shaken. And I said that, I'm like, Papa Dios, whatever it is that you're doing in my life, you know, thank you for giving me my mom for so long.
Right.
My mom, you know, she died when she was 58. And it was a tragic death. But I was so thankful that that I had a mom.
Yep.
To start with, because there's people that don't have a mom.
Yep.
And I think for me, I grieve every day. Because grief for me is more like this love that I can't share anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like this love that I cannot express to that significant person ever again. You know, I talk to God and I'm like, God, please remind her that I love her and stuff. But it's like, for me, that year taught me and shaped me in a way where I'm like, Papa Dios, what you got for me?
Right.
I'm so grateful you gave me my mom. I'm so grateful you gave me my, again, another tragedy was my brother.
Yep.
But it's like, I'm so grateful you have given me this opportunity to experience my family.
Yeah.
You know, because there's people who don't have family. And I learned that through my students. When my students tell me their immigration, how they made it to the United States, or who they live with here,
right?
It's like, there's nothing I can complain about.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Right.
You know?
Ooh, my God. Yes. I like 1,000% yes, and agreed that those humbling lessons sometimes do come from like those places like that, from our very children, who, like you said, are such a mirror into our own lives of like what we have. And yeah, what we do carry, they definitely see.
Yeah.
And whether we try, and we try so hard to just hide it and make it look like we're so great, that's never, we're not doing them any favors though when we do that.
A lot of people would be like, oh, but you stay, you know, and I was with my significant other for like 13, 14 years in and out.
Jeez.
And it's like, but we're great friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to step away so you don't hurt your children. Sometimes people stay together.
Yeah.
For their children's sake.
Right.
And they end up, you know, traumatizing their children.
Right.
Me and my ex-husband, I'm like, what's up, man? Like, you know, we give each other advice about relationships. Like,
hey.
We're cool. But now we're friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to understand that there's two different relationships when you're with someone. The one that you have with your partner and the one they have with their children. those are two different things. Mm-hmm. Two different things. And let's I learned go. That ooh, the hard way.
You right know? On, right on.
You know, because there could be people that are very bitter.
Yeah.
You know, but my kids are very blessed to have both parents, and we're good friends, and shout out to him, school right. peoples. And I think that's just learning to forgive. And yep. we had deep talks where we have forgiven each other,
right.
and we're better people now, you know?
Come on.
And I love that. And I love that. Like, I could say that. Like,
yes.
Like, dude, you know, we went through so much trauma together, and I'm like, we're good.
Yeah.
You yeah. know, I have no complaints about him, and it's like, and it's you pray about that.
Yeah.
And once you forgive and get receive forgiveness.
Right on.
You feel amazing.
Yes.
I'm such at peace.
I mean, I agreed because I think what is radiating the most too is that you just seem lighter.
Yes. But it allows you to do all these great things that you want to do.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those hardest things for me. It was like, you know, I am me. And if you cannot accept that this is what I am.
Yep.
This is my one life.
Yeah.
Entiende? I'm not going to stop being me.
Yep.
And using the gifts that God has given me.
Mm. Yeah.
To accommodate you. And your things.
Yeah.
Because you got to do you. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So it's like, no, just I'm for me, it's like, I am so happy and I'm such at peace. And I'm like, God has given me these gifts. I need to use them.
Yeah.
And I'm everywhere. I'm everywhere. Yes. I yep. try to make time for everyone and for all these initiatives. Because yeah. I don't want to waste my time in this world.
Mm-mm.
I had to leave a legacy for my children to know, like, my mom was here.
Yeah.
And she went through all this, but she made it.
Yeah, she did.
So whatever I confront in life, I can make it too. So,
yes, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, please. Agreed. I just want to, like, be able to, like, have that on loop. You know what I mean? Like, just as a motivational message. But it's true. And what I heard you saying is, like, also, like, we just cannot afford to do that. Like, to do that disservice to ourselves, but also to others. Because, to others. Yes, you're also robbing others of yeah. this incredible and opportunity.
Like, that's what I said. I'm like, now that I'm friends with my ex-husband, I'm like, listen, we learn from each other.
Yep.
And I'm here to give you advice, and you give me advice, because there's nobody else who can know me better.
Yeah.
You know, this man saw me grow.
Yeah,
you know, so
that's
like,
true.
So it's for me, it's like, now that we're at peace and wow. and we have a great relationship, like, our parenting is great, you know, we yep. look out for each other, but it's that one thing where you're like, you're such at peace, and it's like, man, yeah. that's family. He's right. the father of my children.
Yeah,
you know, that's family. And for me, it's like, you know, I want him to be happy.
Yeah,
sincerely. And I want that for me.
Right.
So sometimes it's better off to be
yep.
separate ways.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. It's just such a refreshing perspective. Yeah. Like, to hear
but
that.
But you have to. It's like,
yeah.
You got one life. What? And then look at it. We're 7 billion people in this world.
We are, though.
And you want to be stuck?
Yeah.
You want to be stuck?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Why when you could give your children and yourself and the other person a better life.
Let's go. Exactly.
You say Feli.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But also, I think what's awesome about hearing that is that there's just so much more. There
yes,
could be so much more.
But there's
more.
So much more also in relationships.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To be happy.
No.
I think that when you are an individual that's happy.
Yeah.
And you find someone, you yeah. share that happiness. You don't make them happy because you have to be happy.
Y'all heard that?
Mm-hmm. You have to be happy because happiness is something temporary.
Yeah.
But
it's very fleeting.
If you are yeah. happy,
yeah,
that stays with you. That's part of your identity.
Yep.
I'm a happy person.
Yep.
And it's like, even though you go through these traumas, you got to be happy.
Yeah.
Because like I told you earlier, mm-hmm. the tongue has the power to give you life or death.
Amen.
So you have to just make sure every day you wake up with that possibility, today I'm going to be great.
Yeah.
And that's it. But if you put yourself in situations where you are like, I'm just going to be content with life just the way it is.
Yeah. Settle.
Then don't complain.
Yeah, because you
you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, no, la vida.
Yes.
Life is one life. Every day you live a different day
right.
of your life.
Absolutely.
Be happy.
And
choose happiness.
Amen. But because it is a choice.
Yes.
And because, like, what I also appreciated, like, recently, I remember hearing in church, too, that, like, something that you can gain from God also is, like, the difference between happiness and joy. Like, joy
yes.
is different.
Ooh, joy is, yeah, I live joy with joy. Different.
Yes.
Yes. I swear.
Yes. I'm going to say, you remember, like, the movie, The Emotions? Remember? You know, you joy. You're yeah. definitely joy, the one from the upside. What yeah. was that movie? Inside Out?
Inside Out.
Yeah. You're definitely joy.
I'm more like a care bear, though. Like,
well, that's true, too. Oh, yes.
Yes. I think that's the reason why I connect with my care bear so much is because they're all all represent different emotions. And yes. Different they're all servers.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah. So for me, like, I am so joyful, but it's because God is in me. God is my foundation.
Let's go.
You know, God is my foundation, and I say that very proudly. It's like, I wouldn't be the woman I am, if God was not my foundation. And to this day, my relationship with him grows. And this is one of the things that I'm talking about. People talk about relationships.
Yes.
Right? What enriches your relationship? Like, what is that makes something a relationship? What do you have to do to grow your relationship? You got to invest time in it.
Yeah, you got to work on it.
You got to work on it.
Yep.
You got to read it. You got to feed it.
Yeah.
If you don't feed it, it dies. That's how it is with God. Your relationship with God is as strong as you make it. And your faith is going to be as big and strong as you make it when you invest your time.
Let's go.
And your daily life on him. Yep. So he is my foundation. And every day my relationship grows deeper because I keep learning more.
Right.
The more I read and the more I connect with God, the more I understand more things about myself and about life and my purpose here.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, I enjoy, you know, like I live con ese gozo.
Yeah.
You know, or everywhere I go, I'm like, I try to make people happy.
Yeah.
You know, and share my joy.
Exactly. And it's such a great impact to be able to like leave behind and be able to do. But I also love that when it was, you know, your faith has absolutely not been shaken. I hear that. But like you said, there was, you know, there was some attacks that happened and there were some things that occurred. And I just love that you gave yourself that chance to have that basically reset, essentially, where you reconnected. Because obviously something, you know, like was harming the connection, you know what I mean, was not keeping it strong. And you recognized that, gave yourself that space and came out of it even more blossomed.
And you had to heal.
Yeah.
I think what I learned is, like, after my divorce, I needed to learn how to heal from everything that happened in my life, not only with my relationship.
Yep.
Everything. I healed from my mom's, you know, everything that happened with my mom, my brother, my brother before that, because in 2011, I lost another brother, you know, and that one I found my brother when he passed away, and it was very traumatizing.
Yeah.
So learning to heal from those things, because what happens is when you don't heal, anything looks attractive. Anything.
Yeah.
You go out clubbing, you drink, stuff. See, I have never been a person that has drank or I don't like drinking.
Yeah.
I don't. My friends make fun of me because I'm grown. I don't even like wine. But I have never done drugs in my life because I grew up with it.
Yeah.
I saw what it did to my family. Like, why would I even go back there?
Yep.
So healing from that, if we were to heal from our childhood traumas by confronting those things that hurt us, it just makes you a better person.
Yeah.
Again, anything looks amazing when you're hurt.
Yes. Oh, yes. I agree. And I feel like that's the most fascinating thing is that, yes, as you change and as you evolve and allow yourself that opportunity to do that, what you crave and what you desire changes.
Yeah. I think this year has been my year where I have learned that the most in the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, like I thought that I wanted something and then it wasn't what I wanted. God is like, esto no es para ti.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, reshape me and
right.
This is like,
let me know then.
Let me know what it is. For me, my purpose is very clear to serve.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure that I told myself I'm never going to date again.
Oh, no.
My friends make fun of me for that, and it's okay. But I think it's something that I've been praying for. I want God to guide me to say that that's going to be my purpose.
Right.
But I just want to live my life in this, dedicated to my sons, to my community.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid to invest in another person.
Yeah.
I just need to heal. And also, I'm like, I don't think it's for me. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I wanna enjoy my life by doing the things that I need to do.
Yeah.
And if God does, later on, like, hey, mira.
Right. You know, there's someone here. Yeah,
there's someone here. I know it's not going to be William Levy, but it's like, okay.
Right. Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We can always have, yeah.
Yeah. But it's
like, that part first.
But I'm healing and I'm happy. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. And like, and I do agree, it's also okay to say that. And when you do it, I'm sure I would hope that that person is also worth it. Like at the end of the day, you know, and like all of that, because you already are a person that, you know, with that kind of heart, like, and I think that's something we need to always make sure that we stay faithful to ourselves and know that, that if you are going to do that, just like anything else that you invest into, that, yeah, that relationship is something that is worth investing.
Yes.
You know, and that you've taken time to make sure that part is true too.
I think it's the key is to pray about it.
Yeah.
Pray about it. And if you're not a believer, give God a chance. I mean, you give people a chance.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, give God a chance and you see what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because either way, we all definitely deserve to have, like you said, roots and foundation, mm-hmm. you know, and have something that grounds us at the end of the day. So whatever that is for you, and making sure that you feed into it and pour into it.
Yep. If you feed it, it will grow.
I love that. And with that being said, is there anything that you're growing? Any other new things on the horizon for you?
So Lifting Puerto Rico is happening.
Yes, very
and
good.
Thank you for supporting, like always.
Yes.
So March 30th, we're going to Puerto Rico for the sixth time.
Nice.
I'm like, Tanisha's so going with me. She's one of my besties. Tanisha and I have done so many amazing things this past 4 years that we've been together. So we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary.
Oh,
shout out to my girl. Yep. So yeah, we were just talking about it. It's been 4 years. We know each other for a very long time, but that we actually connected and started working together as sisters in projects.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So this year, I don't know, have you talked to her about it? We did the food policy.
Oh, okay.
So Case Western had a big grant and we won the grant.
Wow.
So Lincoln West is hosting indoor food garden.
Wow.
And we have also connected with our outdoors garden, two other food gardens in our community, and one community garden.
Right.
And our focus is to change the food policy in the school districts.
Wow.
We want our school districts to buy food from local farmers.
Wow.
And so we are a local farmer in our school.
Yeah.
We even have chickens. We even have chickens.
Let's go.
So our students are learning to use what we grow in our foods, and our kids are loving it. Our kids do not like their lunch food.
Yeah,
so they eat with us, but they also like learn how to manage the school food and be like, oh, we could add this to that.
Right.
So they're creating a food policy, and then they're going to advocate this food policy at the end of the year and speak to a lot of important people in our community and in our city about changing the food policy.
Jeez.
So
that's amazing.
I love Tanisha for taking that initiative. And, you know, we created the curriculum, and we are there every Tuesday and Thursday embracing it to our senior class.
Right.
I'm the senior advisor of my school.
Okay.
So every year I make sure that my kids graduate, and it's been very challenging. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for our students out there.
Right.
But it's that trauma and healing that needs to be taken care of at home to motivate these kids to go and do something with their lives. Like they have free college in Lincoln West that we give to our kids and a lot of other opportunities.
Yep.
But a lot of them don't take it because the healing that needs to be done at home.
Right.
And in the self, so we're working on that.
Yeah.
But Lifting Puerto Rico is happening.
Yeah.
We're leaving on the 30th. We are there to the 8th. We are impacting a few cities. It's amazing. For me, it's to give that opportunity to my students to see where their talents and skills and everything they're learning in the school year to put it to use. For me, it's like one of the biggest blessings. And I want to encourage everyone to please look at my page. I posted the GoFundMes for my students' projects.
Let's go.
You know, please help them reach their $250 goal for each project.
Right.
So please help the youth actually use their skills and put them to practice. I love that. Something that I'm passionate about. Then we're going to open up the Roberto Clemente League. So please, if you have your kids, sign them up. We're working on the statue project.
Okay.
With Roberto Clemente's family.
Wow.
Yes. I don't know why I'm choking. I'm like,
right, my bad.
And we're starting breaking ground this year. Hopefully, it's going to be done by next year.
Wow. Okay. So casi nada.
Casi nada. Yeah, but thank you for coming to Roberto Clemente Day.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's going to be our third one this year. And we're so excited. It gets better and better every year.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm opening my dance studio.
Yes.
So I'm doing that this summer. I'm so happy. I can't wait to dance.
Yeah,
I haven't danced in...
Same. I need you to teach us.
I know. 4 years.
We're ready.
You know, and I can't wait. I cannot wait. This year has been... I have a lot of projects this year.
Yeah.
But my number one is being the best mommy I can be.
Yep.
So I'm going to be... I'm still coaching, helping coach for the Roberto Clemente League. But also doing so many things for my sons.
Right.
Travel is one of them.
Yeah, right? Let's go. Yeah. I love that.
And I think so, that's what's growing.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Exactly. And of course, y'all, if you want to help water that, go ahead and feel free to contribute.
Yes.
Definitely do that. And with that being said, I mean, like, how can folks, if they want to like connect with you or help out with that, donde te encuentran, where they find
you? Yes. So we are still collecting items for the senior center.
Okay.
Okay. And for the orphanage. And what else are we collecting items for? Oh, and sports equipment.
Okay.
So this year, we are taking the students to schools in Puerto Rico. So have you seen those TikToks where the kids are showing the conditions of the schools?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're going to be talking to a few schools about those conditions. But we're also using this youth from the schools to do the community projects.
Wow, okay.
So we're going to be in Juana Díaz, my hometown.
Right.
We're going to be at the senior center. We're going to finish up painting their senior center. We're doing a recreation area for them. Every year we've been there, we have done a part of the center.
Right.
So we're going to do a recreation center for them in their own facility. We are going to San Lorenzo and finish up a park over there.
Wow.
It's been amazing. The tennis court's already done. They sent me pictures. We're like, oh,
exactly.
So amazing. And we're going to do a field day with the school over there and give them sports equipment. To help support the youth.
Yeah.
A lot of funding was cut from the education system and sports and lunch were affected. So we're trying to incorporate that. Continue with the senior centers because of the fact that a lot of families moved here from Puerto Rico and left their seniors back home.
Yeah.
You know, and they're in centers and sometimes they need each other.
Yeah.
So we try to have a fun day with them there and bring them donations. We're going to be in Loíza.
Okay, let's go.
You know, that's one of our founding cities of our roots. And for us to be there, it's amazing. And our kids get to learn a lot of projects. So if you can, please go to their GoFundMe's support or bring the donations to me. Contact me, Rosa Cruz, on Facebook and on Instagram. I'm Miss Rebels. And that is it, I think.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Check it out. There'll be more.
We have a few events. So El Dia del Niño on the 28th at the Pivot Center.
Okay.
So make sure you bring your kids. We're going to give out toys and activities and all that great stuff.
Love it.
And like I said, sign up your kids for baseball. And softball. We're going to have softball.
Okay. Yes. Oh, let's go.
So yeah.
So clearly there's something to connect with y'all. So yeah, definitely feel encouraged. And if nothing else, just, you know, feel free to help contribute to it so that it can be possible for others.
And woman, if you are looking for a space for Bible studies, we have Bible studies on Tuesdays.
Oh, hey.
7 p.m. at Church Alive. It has been amazing.
Oh, yay. So cool.
Stop by one day if you want
Let's go.
If you have never been anywhere and you want to start somewhere, that's the place to be.
Let's go. Why not? So a little bit of everything, y'all.
Yes.
So whatever you want to come in with, absolutely. Yes. And I mean, beyond moved, I was about to say, I'm like, you know, just so grateful. For the conversation, just for everything, but also like all the incredible messages. I hope you all too, you know what I'm saying? Take notes, like let this be your sign, but also just, you know, definitely your encouragement because like, for sure, we all can use it and then, you know, and be able to grow those gifts, like you said.
And pray about everything. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, girl.
I feel like this was like a therapy session for me. I talked about everything. I'm like, I haven't talked.
It was a little bit about everything, yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's amazing. So thank you guys, and thank you for having this platform,
especially
for us women to feel comfortable and come out here and talk and celebrate you guys.
Thanks.
You know, celebrate each other. I'm so happy that your presence and everything you do, because you also work for the school district, so.
I be trying. You. Yeah, we be trying out here. Yes. And I know we got to do it together, Nana.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely. Thank you as well. And thank you all. Because definitely beyond. And I appreciate it. And as always, for your support, we appreciate it. And tune in, you know, once again, every other Feel Good Friday, because we're going to do it again.
Yes.
Thanks. So
Black culture feeds fashion, but fashion doesn't always feed Black creatives. I mean, only 7.3% of American fashion designers are Black. So McDonald's is pairing 5 rising Black designers with 5 fashion insiders for career-changing mentorships and the access they deserve. Because we can do better than 7.3. Together, we can change the face of fashion. Follow their journey on Instagram at WeAreGolden.
Statistics sourced from Zipia.com as of 2021.